Do you have games and stuff, or is it...
Do we have games?
Like blindfold.
He's German.
Whose dick is it?
That we do play. We always keep that.
Jeff
one.
Always wins. Jeff Florida always wins. Wants to play that game. And I'm like, Jeff, we're having a woman on right now. We can't
so
play
you,
whose dick is it right now.
You are the homosexual? Or you're bisexual.
This is how we're going to start this podcast, by the way. We're getting right into it.
Or you're just turned on by men sometimes.
This is my favorite moment.
Maybe. Yeah. I think that's a good way to say it.
Oh, okay.
You know?
So you're like pansexual. Or you don't like a label.
He's just sexual in general. He flirt with anybody. He makes these... That's what he does. He'll do like these things where he's like, let's play whose dick is it. And he does it with my mom. I'm not even joking, you know? So he's that kind of guy. He's... a weirdo. That's what it is. No, we'll dive deep into the sexuality. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was a great start. That was a great fucking...
He knows
hold
exactly
that thought.
We
we're
going
to get into it, right? It's me, Mario. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Uncensored. I love you, my little baby carrots. It's so weird. I have to stop it.
I don't think it's just weird.
Okay. So, guys, today's guest is... he's right here. He's Italian, sort of. His name is the most Italian name ever. You might have seen him as a lead in Eating Out, All You Can Eat. All right? So give it up for Chris Salvatore.
Oh,
hello.
Wait,
can I ask? What is this again?
It's a carrot. I love, because the thing, it's a little cringy. I'm sorry
so
I had to witness
it?
That. But I love, yeah, you can have a bite if you want. It's okay. Great. I love carrots. Yeah.
That should be ASMR.
There's ASMR, yeah. No, it's been a thing on my channel where I'm very connected spiritually to carrots.
Oh.
And it's kind of like the symbol of my channel. And it represents like a youthful, fun, silly side of me.
Mm.
So I call my community the Carrot Kingdom. And the people in it are little baby carrots. But I started saying that only today. And I thought it was a little weird. You know, I'm still getting used to
it. Like how Mariah calls her fans lambs and
lambs.
Yeah, when I was younger,
that is weird too.
And I was like trying to think of what I would call my fans.
Yeah,
a friend of mine was like, "You can call them cum dumps." I'm like, "What's up,
nah,
cum
that
dumpsters?"
Is great.
But that was the old me.
That is phenomenal. Yeah. That's a great name. That is a phenomenal name.
I'm way behind.
Yeah. So Jeff, what would your fandom name be called?
Yeah.
God, I kind of like the cum dumpster.
Okay, you still have
it. Right now, yeah. That is so funny. That sounds like a thing Reno Gold would say. Do you know Reno?
No.
So when he said Reno is he's a big OnlyFans star. He's so funny. He's one of my favorite people in the world, and he would use that word a lot too. I'd never heard it before. Yeah. And
you never heard it?
He would say, you know what he would say? He would say that it's a quote. This is literally a quote by him. He said, "Mario, your abs would be such amazing." We got to blur this, Riley. Cum gutters.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I like those.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there you go.
What are you doing later?
There we go. So, Chris,
you
thanks so much for coming on, by the way. This is like, we have to stop this guy. This is too sexual. Okay. We got to talk about politics for a little bit, and then you guys can make out or do whatever, okay? But okay. So, Chris, thanks for coming on. So, you have the most, we talk about this, your name is so Italian, but you're not Italian.
No, I'm half Italian. Half just Italian. From my dad's side.
Okay.
That's where the name comes from. Yeah. But my mom is kind of like a mutt, like French, Irish, German.
Yeah.
I was telling you a little bit like of like Pennsylvania Dutch, like Amish country is kind of like where I grew up a little bit in Pennsylvania, just outside of Philly. So like not completely isolated, but I'm half Italian.
Because the first thing you told me in the elevator was like, "Do you like America?" And it was so funny because like you...
So I feel like Americans are having a hard time with America right now.
Some don't. I've been to, I would just
oh,
went
yeah.
to
some
Florida.
Don't. Some, don't.
Some are really happy in
really?
America. I don't know if they're happy, but you know, I feel like.
I feel like everyone is complaining, right?
But everybody's complaining everywhere all the time.
Yeah,
Germans
are
complaining all the time too. You know?
I feel what he's saying. I think we've got kind of the American empire.
The American dream is not really alive. Someone did tell me.
What did you just say to me? What have I just said to me?
Wait, how long have you been here in America?
I'm going to tell you one thing, son. The American dream is alive and well, right?
for
my America, it is.
For a lot of people, yeah.
No, I've been here for 4 years.
Okay.
And I like America. You know what I mean?
Well, someone,
I see some flaws for sure, like everywhere. But generally, I fuck with it.
Someone just told me LA specifically is about to like really boom in the next 10 years. So it's like a great time to live in LA. It's like kind of like almost like the 70s coming back, like a lot of just like freedom happening in LA specifically. LA and Paris, they said.
This LA and Paris, that's so interesting. Yeah. We're here. We're doing it. So how does that come about? Like, what's the reason for it?
I asked all these questions and I didn't really get a straight answer. It was like, oh, some guy. And I was like, well, does he study economics or like...
love that you're like, we're basing... This is not a fact. That's how internet works, by the way. Some guy said something. You say it on the podcast.
I believed it.
And now it's a fact. And now,
isn't that some sort of like effect, like manifestation effect? We're manifesting LA to boom.
I think that's a very refreshing perspective.
Yeah.
Because usually I hear the opposite.
Well, that's what I heard along. That's why I was so shocked.
I went to Austin, Texas. And everybody in Austin, especially in the comedy community, I do stand-up comedy, right?
So yeah.
Everybody in that community, this guy, Tony Hinchcliffe, and like they're all talking about like LA's dead and Austin's the new Hollywood and all this stuff, right? So you hear very opposing views on that. So I like it. I like LA. I fuck with it.
Yeah.
Just a little too slow. You know, it's a little too slow. I need something harder.
Like New York energy.
Yeah. Mm. You get it. Yeah, yeah. So what brought you to LA when you first came here from?
Those eating out movies.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, tell me about those because I saw this on your resume. Not going to lie, I thought it was a porno at first. Right? Right?
That's a good porn title.
Eating out, all you can eat. And the cover art, we can put Riley put the cover art here.
Yeah.
You know, was you shirtless?
Yeah, it's like me and another guy shirtless, like about to kiss or something. But there's actually two more of those movies before the first one that I was in. And there's five total, which is like crazy. So it was like one of those movies. If you kind of can imagine like American Pie, how it's like this comedy, you know, based around sex and like you know, people that are going through puberty. So it's like kind of this like taboo. Like I feel like when it came out, it was still kind of like taboo almost. Sure. Like him fucking that pie and stuff. Like people were like, oh God, that's in a movie. But so it was kind of based on those. Like it's not based on those, but that's what I compare it to if I'm trying to describe
it. So you fucked a pumpkin pie.
No.
I love you had to think about that long.
Oh, because I was going to do that for Halloween. And I'm like, did I ever get to do that? Or
for Halloween?
Blackout.
Just to treat yourself?
Yeah.
No, like for like an OF for like, video. You know, for like Thanksgiving. Yeah.
Lester was like, do you want to fuck a pumpkin for OF? And I was like,
what a great guy.
Maybe.
Well, maybe. You're talking to the right guys here.
You guys have.
Let me tell you, let me give you some backstory. I love that you said the American Pie thing because that was my childhood in Germany. Awesome. I loved American Pie because those movies to me represented America. I was like, that's America right there. And I thought that was America. That's what America was going to be like also, you know.
Oh my goodness.
So I thought I was going to fuck apple pies with everybody, but you know.
Because
nobody does here, you know. So,
Europe is very far more ahead.
Apple pies are very fuckable in Europe.
Far ahead. I'm sure that was a disappointment when you first moved. You were like, why is everyone so prude?
Absolutely. Yeah. Nobody to fuck pies with.
Why aren't you fucking pies?
Yeah.
Prude. What's the deal with, you know,
problem?
People are not in saunas. Everybody's wearing clothing in saunas. It was strange.
Just watched your podcast episode about that.
Yeah.
How it's illegal, right?
It's illegal to not be nude. Why?
Because you can like hide. If you wear clothes,
it's hygiene. It's not illegal. Hygiene. It's not a crime. It's just like when you go, it is required to be fully nude. And it's simply for the reason it's more hygienic because bacteria builds up in that and then it gets so it's like really more hygienic when you're fully, nude. And it's just much more normal. That's why I thought it was so interesting how in America you have, on the one hand, everything is very sexualized. But then on the other hand, there's like a lot of things that are very taboo.
Really?
Yeah. So in your movie then, you had a similar approach as American Pie, like in terms of like breaking taboos and being very sexual, but gay.
Exactly.
Great.
Like, you know, those movies, American Pie, not another teen movie. They're like spoof movies. Yeah. So American Pie or Eating Out, I'm sorry, is like a campy kind of supposed to be almost just like ridiculous in a sort of way. And the reason why it was called Eating Out is because in the first one, there was a guy, a gay guy, crushing on this guy who he thought was straight. And his best girlfriend was like, why don't we see if he'll eat me out and we'll test if he's gay or straight.
Oh.
So that's where it came from. And then subsequently, like the second, third, fourth, and fifth, they're not about eating out at all, but that's just where it derived from. So,
it's a great catching
thing. Yeah, everyone always is like that. And it's so funny. My mom, before I left for LA 13 years ago, she's like, just don't ever do porn. And sure enough, the first movie I get is called Eating Out. And then I also had a nude scene in it. So I showed my junk. Yeah. And
so like full nude?
Yeah.
Like full,
I mean, it wasn't like bonerific, but it was just like soft.
Okay, yeah.
Because I think maybe if it's a boner, then it's considered porn.
You know, there's I think nudity is nothing that's pornographic necessarily. It's about how it's shot too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you've done like photos of see your book and everything. Like nudity itself is not the issue, I think. It is about the context. Right. You can be nude or you can be like nude, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's after I started my OnlyFans, like I kind of had this whole like sexual kind of, I regained my power back because I didn't really make a lot of money doing those movies and I showed a whole lot. And at that time, this was like
a whole lot
10 years ago or even longer probably when we did Eating Out 3 and it came out. It was very like gay out actors weren't really getting any work. Like they weren't being seen by casting directors.
Yeah.
You know, if you were in a gay movie or played a gay character, people kind of like pigeonholed you. So that was around that time. And I was like, oh geez, like now I have to show my dick on top of it all, you know?
Yeah. That's how I felt without any of the gay stuff even, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's a very common thing that you feel like you have to, even in like, you know, we did modeling and stuff and you feel
show a little, I'm sure a lot of people feel that way. And there's a lot of like, you know, weird things that happen, I feel like, in modeling and like on go-sees sometimes. That's just like very, you know, weird. But sometimes it like actually became a fetish of mine. This is probably weird to say.
Please go ahead.
But like, I love like a massage kink video where like it's this fantasy of like you getting a massage by a masseuse and he like goes too far or something.
Yeah.
Where you're like, it's not supposed to happen, but it's hot because it is not supposed to happen.
Yeah.
So there was like a few times on Ghosties where I didn't stop it because I was like aroused by it. Isn't that weird?
I mean, that makes sense. So, okay.
It might be some sort of trauma response, but.
Understood. So it would happen to you that somebody would offer you a massage at like a scenario of like a job or like a casting or something.
Or
like,
someone would be like, okay, so get down to your underwear and let's see, you know, your package. And then they would be like, can you get it a little like bigger so we could see when we shoot it?
Yeah,
it'll fill out the underwear because it's a little cold in here or something.
Yeah.
And then you're like.
Yeah, literally. Yep.
Punching it. Yeah. And then they're like, oh, do you want me to help you? And then it's like,
oh my God, that is such a cliche thing.
And you're like,
so funny.
Sure. But I feel like that's trauma response. I think it's a freeze response. I feel like women who are not saying that I was raped in any way, but like I fully allowed it to happen. But I feel like women say they didn't say no in those situations too. Wow, this got really dark.
What's the power dynamic?
No, it's power dynamic.
Yeah.
And in that scenario, you don't think rationally because it's like you're insecure maybe because you're young. You don't know what's going to happen. And it's tough to be stand up for yourself and be like, we had the same exact conversation last podcast, by the way. It's kind of funny.
Really?
Where he talked like somebody wanted to give him a massage at like some house. It was like a big, you know, manager or whatever. And sometimes you just let it happen. And, you know.
Isn't that interesting? It's so interesting thinking about it because I'm 38 now. So like, I feel like I've lived so much of all of that.
Yeah.
Young industry, you know, experience, energy type thing. And I look back and I'm like, oh my God, on a larger scale, like these larger celebrities or these larger, you know, bigger names, I'm like, how do they deal with that attention times a million, you know?
Yeah, 100%. So how would you deal with it now? If somebody now on the podcast would be like, hey, let's see your package.
I guess it depends on who
it is. It's a little cold in here.
Like you guys are like, okay.
Degrees in here. Let's see what we're working with.
68 degrees.
Oh, it's a little cold. Do you mind if I give you a hand? Like, I'm just saying, like, now with age, I'm just asking for a friend, by the way, but like, I'm just saying, like, with age, I feel like you have more knowledge about yourself, your boundaries. You don't feel as easily influenced by those power dynamics.
Very true. I've learned that I don't have a great deal of boundaries. I think mainly
because you got what it takes. Then.
I think mainly because I feel pretty ballsy. Like I don't feel, it's funny. I feel ballsy, but I do still have a problem with caring too much about what people think. But I feel like being ballsy is like my defense mechanism. Like I'll just be ballsy. I like to do things that scare me. So it's like my trick that I tell myself if I'm like a little bit scared to do it. Like I haven't done a podcast interview in a while. Like I've been like super depressed. So I'm like not leaving the house. And I'm this is making me nervous to go on the podcast.
Yeah.
That's why I have to say yes.
You should be.
Well, yeah, in a good way. But I just think that's a good reminder for people who, you know, are stuck in life. You're stuck because I think you're not doing things that scare you.
That's so great. I love that.
Risk taker.
Yeah. That was exactly like on my YouTube channel. That's one of the biggest things. Like do what scares you. Get out of comfort zone. That was like, that's why I did all this. That's why I justified doing all this crazy stuff on YouTube because I have this in the back of my head. It's always something that scares me. Like that's why I started stand-up comedy, by the way.
That's amazing. I have to talk to you about that later because I've always wanted to be a stand-up comedian.
Then you have to do it. And especially if it scares
me so much.
That's why you have to do it.
It's like the most
even if you don't
scariest
wanna,
job, I feel like. 100%. People can like boo you at any level. Heckle
the
you.
It's one of the most vulnerable things. And but that's why I think so anybody fun. Should. And I think we just live often in this like state of like comfort because it's like, it's obviously it's safer, right?
Yeah.
But I think anything, if I think about my life at least, I don't know about you, but most people, if you think about the most memorable things in your life, it was usually moments I was uncomfortable in at first. But then they became amazing. Like on a smaller scale, I went on a hike with my dad. It started raining in LA. And we're like, fuck, we're just going to go. And we got fucking lost. We couldn't see where to go. It was like a fucking hurricane here in LA. I don't know how. Shit. We're in Running Canyon, running around with that Dexter too. It was hilarious. Oh,
Dex.
And it was so fun and so memorable though, because it was so uncomfortable. And then after, those are the moments you remember. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not the moments that... You go to, like when I was traveling a lot, I would go to Thailand. I would go with no money and hitchhike and just talk to strangers and make these videos. Much more memorable than going there on like a budget and going to like a nice resort hotel, which is nice, but not as memorable if you think about your growth.
Right.
So,
my mom always used to tell me like, mom, I don't want to do it. Like as a kid, not now, but she would be like, well, it builds character, Chris. It builds character. And it's very true, you know?
It's character.
That was one of the first things that turned me on to Mario sexually. Not sexually. But I met him a few years ago. We would be in Milan or somewhere. And he'd be like, throw that Borat suit on. We're going outside here in 5 minutes.
Oh,
and he just
had
this badass look. Like he was ready to take the risk. He didn't care. He wasn't fazed by it. And after you do it, it's obviously a little embarrassing when you do it. But after you do it, you're like... stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Great. I love that about him. Yeah. I love that about him.
I truly think that's... Early on, that's what I kind of learned. I had to do more. That's when I went to, at a young age, to Peru in South America. Didn't know Spanish.
Wow.
You know, I told you I was traveling. And I was like, I'm so scared of this, but I got to do it. And that's when you get into this habit of doing things that scare you. And then you're like, oh, nothing's scary, really.
Right.
Because you always survive. And you always, unless you die. You know, unless you die, then you don't survive. But other than
fall down a waterfall or something.
Yo, but even in Milan, we're at that club. It's 1 a.m. We're vibing. We're having a good time. And you go, hey, strip off. We had our Borat suits on underneath. And he goes, hey, strip your top off. We're doing this right now. I'm like, dude, it's fucking 1 a.m. in the club. What are you talking about? He convinced me to do it. Bro, everybody fucking loved it.
Yeah.
Even girls were jumping up like, so cool. Y'all are awesome. I was like, yeah, I thought of it.
Yeah. That's why I like pushing Jeff because he's a little older, you know, so I like pushing him out of his
You're
like,
a little
you know,
older. How old?
Oh, have a guess.
62. Wow, you must be a vampire. You kind of get the vampire vibe.
I'm in LA. You know?
You kind of get the vampire vibe.
Yeah.
So if you age, you're not doing it.
But what you're saying is basically like exposure therapy. It's like where the therapist tells you, go, like say you have social anxiety and the therapist says, because this happened to me. It is pretty embarrassing, but she was like,
say hypothetically a therapist.
It's one of those things where it's not really a fact, but it's a fact. Okay. So my therapist told me, you have social anxiety. You're very shy. So why don't you go? This is when she thought I was straight. She's like, why don't you? This was really a long time ago. She's like, why don't you go
with
to
you
a
gay?
This isn't like a gay. Oh no, I'm straight.
Yeah, bro, yeah. Me too. So. Confused. People are so confused right now, by the way. It's so funny. Yeah. So, but keep going. Yeah. So she thought you were gay. Are you straight?
Bye. So, she's like, wait.
Genuinely don't know anymore what's happening.
I guess that doesn't really matter for the fact that, like, she told me to go to a Starbucks and draw a stick figure and, like, go to a cute girl and hand it to her and say, like, I drew this for you to bring about a moment of shame or embarrassment 100%. To kind of trigger the embarrassment on purpose.
Yeah.
So then you can learn, like, oh, it's almost like cold plunge therapy, too. Like,
oh, yeah.
Putting your body in uncomfortable situations, and like that's where you grow the most, and that's where it's the hardest because we don't want to.
Yeah.
We don't want to feel uncomfortable. You know.
I did the same thing. It's so funny. I read the book The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss, and there's like a comfort challenge you have to do, and similar things. I would just talk to girls and ask them for stuff, or I would buy flowers and just give them to somebody, like stuff like that. I would do, and it was amazing. The stuff that I've just experienced life in a more dense way because we all go about our days. Was in New York at the time and everybody's in their own zone and people are waiting for you to break that though.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you go out to somebody, you give them something and it's unexpected and weird. People crave that, you know, especially at Starbucks. They're like doing this like job day in, day out. They just want that. And I like breaking the norm.
Yeah.
In whatever way possible.
I think
it
cuts their day up, you know, it makes their day go by slower and like, you know. When you're making minimum wage, it's like, you work hard too.
Yeah.
So
it's,
I try to be nice to all service industry people just because like for that guy, back, I try to make them feel super special and like make them smile.
Yeah. 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 Give them a clap on the ass, you know?
Yeah.
Just make them feel extra special.
One step too far.
Blowjob in the kitchen.
You know, it's interesting that you say that with the social anxiety because you don't strike me.
I know, isn't that so weird?
Like when I saw you, even you were very warm when because we just met like 5 minutes ago, basically, right?
Yeah.
You immediately seemed like very, you know, friendly, approachable.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I guess I've like done a lot of the work.
You've hit on enough girls at Starbucks and now you're.
It was like 20 a week. No, just kidding. I guess I did a lot of work, but I think what really has helped is. Like just being an actor and like doing acting classes. Cause like, I remember that was something that really always scared me, like going to an acting class because you think you see all these, like hear all these stories and you're like, oh my God, that sounds so embarrassing. They had you barking on the floor like a dog.
Yeah.
Like, why would you do that?
Yeah.
But like, it just allows you to be like super uncomfortable. And then you learn like, oh, this isn't really that bad. And this is actually kind of fun. It's like more like being like a child, like, and like playing, you know, like,
oh yeah.
As adults, we just don't do that anymore. Yeah.
More childlike.
Yeah.
That's a good analogy.
Mm-hmm. And not feeling like ashamed to express that side of you.
Yeah. Cause that's what we, as kids, we had that freedom to express whatever we was.
Yeah.
We don't cry.
We don't know anything.
You cry, you know, you don't suppress anything, but now we have to be these like alphas. Mm-hmm.
You don't like,
we don't have to be, but. Society.
And the society puts you have kinda, a role, right? We all have a role.
Yeah.
So you get back to that. That's amazing. Especially improv was helpful for me also.
Oh, I need to get into an improv class.
Improv is like what I recommend for any. I think anybody should go to improv class, regardless of whether you want to do acting or not. Because improv is that skill of like, there's no script. You don't know what the script is or what people are going to say, but you just get up on stage and in the moment you have this trust that something's going to come to you. So then you take that trust outside to where if you're at a date, you're going to just trust that in the moment things are going to come to you. And that's one of the, like, that's confidence to me. You know, when that trust is connects you so much more to present moment. When you don't think about what you're going to say, you don't think about like circumstance, how people perceive you, you're just present and you know that things and you react and listen. That's improv. And that's such a life skill.
That probably would help someone who's socially anxious as well.
I 100% recommend that. And it's just, it's fun too. You know, it's silly. It's like same. Improv is like, I think, one of the best tools. It sounds like an improv.
Have you taken an improv class?
Go to Groundlings, use promo code Mario10 to get 10% off your next class.
It's right here. This is where the class is.
This is the improv. Yeah. You're right. This is very much like improv. Zip, zap, zap.
Zip, zap, zap.
Oh my God. That's awesome. Funny.
So now, okay, you started acting, right?
Yeah.
You did the eating out one.
I started like singing kind of. I started uploading covers on YouTube. Like the first one I did was like Katy Perry's like, Kissed a Girl, but I changed it to I Kissed a Boy.
Of course you did. Yeah.
So that was like back then. And then I just started uploading all these like female pop artist cover songs onto YouTube. And then that's how I got like a little bit of a following. And then I did Eating Out and it kind of, And then I ate out. Yeah.
Nice. Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. Then the transition was from music. Cause I saw you just uploaded like a couple months ago, you uploaded another Billie Eilish. I saw that.
Oh yeah. So I'm writing a new, I don't know if I want to say album, but it's in like an EP right now. So this, I have like 6 songs that I want to release in the next couple months. So I don't know when this is coming out, but
6 months from now.
We'll all be dead.
Okay. That's awesome. So what's your main passion right now? Because you have acting and you have OnlyFans.
Singing now.
Singing is the main thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I have like a studio in my house. So I just like wake up super early in the morning and I'm just in there all day long. Like sometimes I even forget to eat and like I can pump out songs like really fast because I know how to do music production myself.
Oh,
so
yeah. Okay, you,
it's all kind of like a one-stop shop. And then I work with like another producer that helps me mix it and master it and re-record what needs to be re-recorded. Oh. So yeah, but that's my main passion right now because I feel like I just have something to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And how does OnlyFans play into all that? When did that happen? So, when did you start on OnlyFans?
So I told you how I showed my dick in Eating Out.
Yeah.
I was saying this, but then we got sidetracked. I didn't really make that much money off of the film. I made like $800 or something like that. And like, I don't get residuals. Like I don't get any of that stuff. So I was like, I want to reclaim my power back and do an OnlyFans and be nude and get my money, you know?
Leak my own dick pic.
Yeah.
That's right.
So that's basically what I did. And I've been doing that for almost 3 years. I think it'll be 3 years in June.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Do you have OnlyFans?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Started
you have OnlyFans too?
Does he have OnlyFans?
Okay.
Yeah. He is the original gangster.
Oh, you are?
Of OnlyFans.
I made OnlyFans what it is.
No way. Yeah,
dude.
You changed it from softcore to hardcore.
So is it you have
you
sex
name
with
it
women?
He's done it. Every object is on the table with Mario Adrian's.
So
when
I told you about the carrots earlier.
The carrot. I ate the carrot.
No, so I do. So funny. Sorry. The rumor start.
Sorry
it's
about
like so
that.
Funny. Jeff always says these things. No, I exclusively bang dudes. I'm kidding. No, what? Listen. No, we're just going down this road. People, you can't have to subscribe to find out. You know what I mean?
You're right.
Here's
the
thing. I started OnlyFans as a social experiment.
Okay.
Where I made YouTube videos and I was like, hey, I made OnlyFans for 30 days and made X. That was like the idea of it. And this was like fun. I donated all the money. But then I had this community and I was like, oh, this is
dope. Oh, that's really sweet.
You know? So I donated it to the National Rifle Association. Okay,
you donated. Well,
that's a joke. Is it?
No, I'm kidding. Okay. What's up?
It's a joke, right?
It's a joke. Yeah. Because you said like you donated the money. You're like, oh, that's so sweet. Yeah. Like, you don't know what I donated it to. You know what I mean? I donated it to like a conversion camp.
Yeah.
Like a conversion.
Trump's legal fee.
God damn, listen, I just had a lot more dick pics for that. You know?
Yeah.
But it is what it is. No, but then it became like this community. I felt very empowered. And I was wondering about you because now to me, it's like OnlyFans is where I also have a comedy special on OnlyFans.
Oh, no way.
It's out right now. Go to OFTV right now. It's an OnlyFans comedy special.
Guys, quick announcement. I did a full comedy special on OnlyFans.
I'm just really good at
jawline. So if you want to see that for free, go click the link in my description below right now, and I'm going to send you a free link to my OnlyFans special. It's 100% free. All you got to do is go to the link in my description below, fill out the form, and I'm going to send you the free OnlyFans link. It's just something I want to share because I'm very excited for you to see it. I cannot wait for you to see it. So click the link below right now or after this video.
So it's almost like OnlyFans. I love the freedom and that you can monetize your audience, build a connection, community, and then you can finance your creative pursuit, right? So is that how it's like for you in music as well?
Yeah. I mean, that's the only way I would be able to do it. Yeah. You know, it's expensive.
It is, right?
Yeah.
So when you do your music, is it like, what is the overhead? Like the expense? Because you do a lot yourself too, right?
Well, that's where I save a lot. But since I just moved and built the studio, I had to expense all of the, well, not expense, but I had to buy all of the, equipment for it. Yeah. And all of that equipment is very, I mean, you know, it's like some of the same equipment.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what was able for me to even build the studio, you know, right, and just like be there all day, because music is like something where it needs to be set up all the time. It's hard when you have to like get out a keyboard and hook it up, and it's like in the moment you have an idea or a melody or a verse, and if you don't put it down in your phone or record it or something, it's not going to happen. And the way I work is I like to write in the studio so I know what it's sounding like.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm
in
not,
the moment, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not one of those people that will like write it in my head first and then write it all down. Like I like to be with the microphone and the dark lights and the big speakers. Like I like that vibe. Yeah.
Put it in your mouth like earlier, just like, I like to feel it. That's awesome. Well, that's probably some ASMR right there. Yeah. So how do you feel about creatively with OnlyFans and the branding of that and being a musician at the same time? Because I personally always felt a little afraid of that and how people would perceive OnlyFans while also pursuing a more traditional creative passion.
Right. It's definitely tricky because I feel like not everyone is like us. Like they're not more free or more or less inhibited.
Yeah.
So I feel like for me, it was hard because I was known for taking care of my old neighbor.
I saw that. I saw the video. I showed them earlier. Yeah.
That happened after eating out. So it was already weird to like be nude in this movie about sex and gay sex and then take care of this thing. And then all these women all over the world are like, who's Chris Salvatore? And then they're like, oh. But then when I made an OnlyFans, that was like even more obscure.
Yeah,
so it was like, so when I think about like the music, and I think this is a good thing for you to think about, like there's always another extreme that someone will try to limit you from. Mm. So for example, if I let like the whole taking care of an old lady, and because I'm compassionate and kind and empathetic, stop me from making money on OnlyFans because people will think that I'm like a stupid porn star.
Yeah.
And then cut to my music. Like it doesn't matter, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like there's no rules, and I feel like that's like my message here on earth is to like show people, to show and tell that like you can piss on the rules.
Yeah.
Like the rules are made by our negative intrusive thoughts, I think.
Yeah. And you break the stereotype and the expectations of
that
and do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
That's great. I like that.
It's because like, we always are thinking like as entertainers and in the industry, like, there's someone higher up that like there's some gatekeeper that won't let me in the room because I have an OnlyFans. And I used to care so much about that.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I don't need to go in your room.
Yeah.
I don't.
I have my own room.
Yeah. I have my own room.
I make so much money. I buy your room.
Yeah.
And then it's my room.
And it doesn't even need to be about material things, but it can just be about like the room that you made that you love here.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need to be in your room if you don't like me because of XYZ.
Yeah.
Because I like myself.
That's great. I love that.
And there's always going to be someone who will want you to be in their room. And there's always going to be way more people who don't want you to be in your room. Yes. So I say you're not making it any harder on yourself.
Yeah.
You're just limiting yourself but based on what other people believe.
Yeah. Well, as long as it's authentic for you, yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Right? Because if people don't want to give you something because of who you truly are, you don't want to work with them anyways, right?
Exactly.
So that's like the... And then also I would make the argument that some people might want you to go in their room because you have an OnlyFans.
Probably.
So, hey, just think about that.
Well, now after
that,
hearing,
you know,
this podcast, they're calling me up.
Your inbox is
going to
be...
Hey, do you want to audition for this, this film?
They saw the line.
Guy in underwear?
They saw the line when you said, I as a person have no boundaries. And they were like, I got to call this guy right now.
Which is not...
You made yourself very attractive for a lot of people right now.
Yes. In therapy, I'm learning more boundaries, but I typically think that I have a very low threshold.
Where do you think that comes from?
I think just being like, just feeling free. I just always have been a free spirit. And I just feel like that is kind of what drives me.
Oh, so you mean boundaries in the sense, oh, I understand now. Not boundaries when other people approach you and you set your boundaries, more like boundaries to what you do in your expression. Like, for example, being nude to you felt... Not as much, like it felt normal, right? You just express yourself that way.
Both.
So you were boundaryless in that way, you mean?
Both.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, because there are ways where like people come up to you and then, you know, they cross a boundary that is like,
so you set your boundaries with those people. Yeah.
Yeah. But I was having a problem being such a people pleaser that I wouldn't have any boundaries.
Yes,
so I just let people walk all over me.
Me too.
But like, I wouldn't mind because I like helping people, but that's not a healthy dynamic. So I had to try to learn how to.
Would that show up also in relationships and stuff like
that?
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Just in my last relationship, it showed up. Yeah.
Yeah. Same with me. Yeah. I had my wife, she would trample over me.
Mm.
And I took it like a little bottom.
A bottom.
No, I did. Not sexually.
She used a strap on.
not physically, guys. Not physically, okay? I have carrots for that. No. No, but that's a good point. I can relate to that a lot. I'm such a people pleaser. Jeff is not. I don't think Jeff is. Like Jeff and I, we operate so differently. The Borat thing in Milan, he brought up earlier. We made a video. We had police detain us in Milan because we were
public
one
indecency.
Nutsack fell out or something. We're all crazy about it. You know what I mean? So... So then, public, because we're wearing, if a woman wore it, was fine. So it was like a little sexist also, but whatever. It was
right.
It was definitely not regular clothing in Italy, but it was also fashion week. It was during fashion week. So we're like, we're high fashion, you know, we're like, the Borat suit. Anyways, but then I was very like compliant. I was like, okay, Mr. Police Officer, whatever, you know, do you want to give me a massage? I was like trying to appease him, you know? And then Jeff was like, no, this is bullshit. Show me the law, you know?
But I would say in the industry, though, I was very similar. Not necessarily I wouldn't give in all the time, but I would always never make it seem like I was offended. Or,
got it.
Or
right. Not confrontational.
Exactly. Yeah. Even if I didn't want to do what they were asking, I would say, laugh it off. I would never be upset or anything. So in that way,
you're smart about it, for sure. Yeah.
A people pleaser, I guess. But
Yeah.
In real life, a little different.
Yeah.
In real life, in this life,
in the industry,
different life.
I think Jeff with anybody is so funny. I think Jeff he's very confrontational with anybody who's an authority. Like I feel like that. Like I've seen him. It's so funny. I've seen him with like people who tell him like you can't sit here or park here. You can't get into this club. He's like, this is bullshit. I'm an American. You know, goddamn it. You know, so funny that like that authority thing is It's definitely, I see that with you.
Well, they say freedom's the highest vibration.
That's what I'm saying. Right. Yeah. I just had a medium read my fortune, I guess. And then she listened to my spirit guides and they all told her that I was born to come to this earth to show and tell people what freedom looks like.
Wow.
And to piss on all the rules. That's why I'm talking about this so
excessively. Yeah. This is great. This is your
journey.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a little music box for my grandmother because I put a bunch of things that I had from, you know, people who have passed in front of me on the phone call with her. And I had this little music box from my grandmother. And a couple days later, I wound the music box because I didn't put it away yet. And I'm listening to the song and I'm like, what song is this? It seems so familiar. And like, I hadn't really noticed the song before because it's kind of just been in a drawer, you know, it was broken too. So it's not really usable. And I look on the back and the tune is Born Free. Isn't that crazy? Born Free.
Is it a like, I was proud to be an American.
No, how does it go?
Born Free.
Wow. How does it go? Do you know how it goes?
You ask him the wrong guy, by the way.
A real song.
This American song.
I forget how it goes, but.
But it's about freedom. I love the song. Yeah, like
Born Free.
Do you know the song?
Born free as the wind blows. Da, na, 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 na. Have you heard that song?
No, but I know the German, the David Hasselhoff song. I've been looking for freedom.
Oh, I like
I've
that.
I've been looking so long.
I like the face when you make when you sing that.
Till the search goes on. That was so fucking I love David Hasselhoff, man. He freedom, the same thing.
Yeah.
In Germany when the wall came down, you know, Jeff remembers back in the 80s, 90s,
tough
whatever.
Times. Tough times. He was,
the wall came down and then everybody was like, this is a sense of freedom. Cause like now the East Berlin people could like be free and travel and shit. Mm. It was like this united freedom, you know. It's beautiful, yeah. Freedom, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Freedom from the gatekeepers.
Yeah.
Freedom to sell your own schlong.
My own schlong.
Your own
my
schlong.
My dad is so fucking proud of me. He's like, if you ever, he's like, I'm thinking of doing a fairies only fan. Like,
a what?
Dress up as a fairy. Like, you know, have you heard of fairies?
Oh, I thought furry.
Furry. Is it no, my both, accent? Both no, I said fairy. Fair. I said fairy.
I thought
furry.
Yeah, okay. Furry. I thought, no, I saw you like, but fairy. Hey, fairy could also work. You know, furry. I saw you with like little wings and a little sparkle. Like,
yeah,
you know, little,
yeah, yeah. Well, he wants to do a furry.
Hold on. Your dad fans. Wants to do a furry only fence.
Yeah, he's thinking about it.
He's the furry.
Yeah.
Oh, so he's hairy.
Mm. Mm, well, he would dress up as an animal, like in a... Animal.
Okay. So, yeah. What animal?
He talked about a squirrel.
He dressed up as a squirrel.
Mm-hmm. A little cutout for the penis?
Yep. The nuts.
You got any of those?
Oh, the nuts?
Yeah, he's searching for nuts.
That is amazing.
Mm. Oh, because he said, because I'm nuts. Yeah. I got to collect my nuts.
So what does your dad do for a living?
He just retired. He worked at the airport. Yeah.
Where did he work before?
He worked at the airport.
At the airport? Mm-hmm. Okay. And now?
And now he's retired.
That makes sense, the job trajectory, airport to
furry
only fans. I think that's like makes sense, right?
That's
like, dope. So, okay.
I think it's more of a joke, not to let anyone down, but.
I mean, I think people crush it though. Like older people.
A son-dad duo collab.
That's right up my alley.
Something tells me that would be very popular.
Oh my god, there's this thing. Have you seen even with our friend Dennis Dozio, like there's something about like family members.
Yeah.
What's the guy
like the step-parent?
What's the fucking name of the guys with the weird hair? The Florida boys, the Island Boys. Island Boys.
Mm,
yeah.
Island
you know
Boys?
That shit? They made out or something?
Yeah.
And their son and dad?
They're brothers.
Oh, they made out. Wow.
Yeah, they said they made $2 million off that. But they're really insecure in podcasts. They get asked about it and they're really insecure about it, which I don't know why. I mean, own that shit. You did it.
I think if you own it, it's like anything you own fully, it's so much better for, you know what I mean? If you go like, yes. I killed that guy. Okay. But like, if you go, yes. No, if you own that shit, you know, like the Reno Gold is a good example. You know, you talk to some people are like weird about that or like shameful about whatever they do, even like OnlyFans.
Right.
Our friend Reno Gold, he meets my mom. Everybody walks into the room. He goes like, I do OnlyFans. I did like the longest jerk off scene I've ever done last week. And I did like 5 cum shots yesterday. And the fifth one was still a lot. And he just talks about it so openly.
I love that.
You know what I mean? That's something I respect.
Because
It doesn't matter what you, if you own shit, you do it. That's everything.
Yeah.
So your dad, just fucking own that shit. Be a little squirrel
tell him to
furry.
Watch this.
Yeah. Dad, what's your dad's name?
Frank.
Frank. Hey, Frank. Salvatore. No, do that shit. Own it. Be the nut.
Mr. Salvatore.
Be the nut. Yeah. Be the speaker. No.
Yeah. I think he would say.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's your dream? What's your dream, Chris, with music? Would you want to be just touring, or is it just self-expression? Like, what's your...
I mean, mainly self-expression, because like I've just been doing music for so long, and like I'm not like a big, you know, whatever. Like,
yeah,
not many people even know I sing. So I think mainly it's like self-expression, because it was my first love for sure, like music and singing.
Okay,
that's what I did first in life, I feel like. But yeah, I would love, like, I'm working on really cool stuff right now. It's different from my older stuff because it was like more pop stuff, but now it's more like disco. So I'm really excited to like have this new era, you know?
Disco.
Yeah.
How do you feel about German techno?
Love it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready? For, like, have you gone to like a German techno club?
No. Will you take me?
Oh. People have to go. People have to find out about this. It's like, it's such a different way of partying. It's not this like.
Oh, I've been there.
Oh yeah. Jeff's been. Yeah. Yeah.
You don't leave the same.
You don't.
Well, you might. Yeah.
It's intense.
Isn't that those the ones that like never close?
It never closes. Never.
So people can just stay for 3 days.
Yeah, literally, yeah. And weird shit happens. Very sexual too, very sex positive.
Yeah.
Very kinky. Kinky. You remember my friend Niklaus told us a story about how he was having sex there with a woman and then in a dark room, and then a guy came
and switched out?
No. Docked from behind.
Oh, him.
Yeah.
Wow, that must feel really good, actually.
Yeah, but kind of unannounced.
Other people call that rape. But like, oh, wow.
I had a friend that told me that in one of those clubs, he laid in a trough and let everyone piss on him.
Wow. Yeah. Was that in Germany, too?
Yeah.
It has to be. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
He so laid always in the bring trough?
It up. He laid in the ice trough. And they pissed on him.
In the ice trough? Because I know the trough for the urinal. Like,
oh,
the
maybe it's that trough. One.
Yeah.
Is there ice in it or no?
Sometimes when they dump ice from the whatever they
ice. He said laid in like that trough where everyone pissed.
Why you get an ice bath and then they said, that's wild.
So it's like cold and then warm. You know,
that's sensory. Beautiful. Wow.
Deprivation.
So I just logistically wonder how that works. You know what I mean?
Which
do,
one?
Do you sign up for that? Like, was that his thing?
Oh, like, do you consent? I'm sure.
No, I'm sure, yeah, because I've been asked if I wanted to pee in somebody's mouth.
Oh, I've done that.
How was it?
You've peed in somebody's mouth?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. What was the scenario?
I mean...
Like, was it like at a club? Was it on a podcast? Like, what was the... like, what was
the podcast? No, it was like... I think it was just at my house. Like, it was just like a date.
Oh, just a date.
Yeah, where I was like in
like first date.
Yeah, probably one of them. I think was.
Yeah. Wait, how many
I don't think that's so far fetched.
One of them. How many
golden
people?
Showers, like kink?
Yeah,
urine.
Yeah, sure.
Like people drink urine.
Yeah, I'm not judging. I'm actually just curious.
No,
yeah.
I don't think you're.
How many? So, but how many people have you? How many people have you provided urine for?
Like a handful, but I've also received.
Oh yeah. So what do you like? Are you a urine top or a bottom?
In piss play.
Yeah.
He's first.
Are you gonna have to blur a lot of this out?
Possibly, yes. Yeah.
this is
you know
uncensored.
What? It's fine. It's on. This podcast is far from monetized, so we're good. We can just you know.
Okay. Oh yeah, because they stop monetizing when it's like too sexual. Huh?
Oh, we came off the bat swinging. Like, there's no way this podcast. We started with. I don't even forgot what we started with. Like some very sexual stuff. So I think we're good.
Keep going.
But we're here, so let's go continue this flow of urine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You asked how many times or what I prefer, top or bottom.
Are you like a receiving or
drinking or
providing?
I guess providing, because it is still like shocking. Sometimes. But some people are really into it.
Providing, do you get pee shy? When you piss in somebody's mouth.
Yeah, you can.
Is there something you do?
Have you ever peed in someone's mouth?
Oh.
I've not, no.
Is it close to coming in someone's butt? Or is it
feels like
I guess
it's like a bidet.
Like a warm.
Wow.
Like douche, I guess.
I want to try that.
But where do you do that? logistically?
I think it feels better for the person peeing. Like after they come and they pee inside.
Inside?
Yeah.
Like how, like inside,
like
inside?
Your dick is still inside and you like, after you come and you, if you have to pee, you can just pee inside them.
Where does it go?
Well, then they have to run to the bathroom and like expel it.
Wow.
Yeah. Ramen is fully hard over here.
That is funny. Oh my God.
But you gotta like squeeze really hard after the person comes out of you.
The last thing I want to do after sex is pee. Like right after?
I like, think there's like
10 minutes after, yes. But sometimes, I think you're supposed to
stay in there.
Well, I'm not that advanced, you know.
Haven't you heard of like soaking?
No. I think I've heard of the term, but I don't know what it is.
I think it's where you like in the straight community where.
I love straight community because there's no community. But, you
know. Well, I guess I would say like people who are a man and a woman who have like a vagina and a dick.
Yeah.
If the dick is in the vagina and it just stays there soaking.
Yes.
And then someone like jumps on the bed and like moves.
Well, that's what, okay.
Isn't that what they do in Utah or something?
Yes, that's what Mormons do, I think, or whatever. I think it's not Amish, Mormons, because that's not considered sex.
Right.
So that's how you, yes, I heard that. Somebody told me about that.
It's not considered sex, so you're still.
Yeah.
Because then you have someone else making the movement, so you're just like sitting there. And like, I
guess you're like. So you gotta hire a third person. That is so funny, though. You gotta hire a dude. The fucking the bouncer.
But I don't know. I guess it could be kinky because like someone else is in the room, you know.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. You know, maybe. These kinks kind of make sense to me. When it comes to shitting though, I'm not really sure. Did you see Vince McMahon, the owner of WWE? He paid, they said, $3 million in hush money to a girl. It was like a secretary. He brought her in there. He and this other executive fuck her. Then he takes a shit on her head, says, "Hey, I'm gonna go shower up, I'll be back." Comes back in a little later, keeps fucking
on her head,
and yeah, what's the kink there? Just completely taboo, just a power thing.
Chris, explain to us the kink, you know, there, because you obviously know
the piss in the butthole. Like that's turning me on, kind of. But the shit on the head, I don't know. That one goes right past me.
I mean, I feel like we all want to have sex in a way where, or most of us want to have sex in a way where there's not a lot of cleanup after, because like. Who wants to do all that cleaning? Unless they, I guess he hires other people to do it, but like.
I mean, if you pay $3 million. Well, also,
it's just very, it's a lot more pungent than pee, I guess. So like, it's just, I don't know. Maybe it has to do with just overloading all of the senses. I don't know.
I think it's power.
Oh.
And humiliation.
Really?
Shitting on, what's more humiliating than shitting on somebody?
But I don't think. All of scat play is based upon humiliation. I think some of them enjoy rubbing the shit on them, right?
Right. I don't know. You know, I wouldn't know that. But wait, when you say scat play, that is with
poop.
With poop, scat play. Mm-hmm. Got it. I'm but learning a lot so of, much. Yeah.
A lot of gay men, like on Twitter, I see, like when they'll talk about someone being hot or they're attracted to someone, they'll tweet stuff like, "Oof, I will until the." Basically, they say, until the room stinks.
Huh.
Or until the walls are covered. Like, they would fuck the person until there's just poop everywhere. It has become a lingo that I see on Twitter.
Isn't there something that, like, things that are taboo are in the same brain region as, like, sex?
Yes, so and I think that kind of triggers what it is. That, like,
feet, poop. Yeah, like, there's a lot of those taboo things are a little... Mm-hmm. Maybe it stimulates the same part of your brain in a way.
Yeah. Did you ever see that movie, Everything Everywhere All at Once?
Yeah, amazing movie.
How they have to like do something weird to like get into that.
Yes, yes.
That's cool.
Yeah. Such a great movie. Side note. Amazing movie. Yeah, yeah. No, you're right. Yeah, I forgot that. Yeah, I forgot that. They do like weird shit. Yeah. Huh. So we're here. We're in the, world of like kinks right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is amazing. So what is your, does your position in peeing in somebody's mouth reflect your sexual position in sex?
I guess slightly, yeah. Hmm. I would say that I'm a verse bottom. Because I like to be stimulated that way. And then I also like to top.
Got it.
He's a verse bottom where you are exclusively bottom.
You're exclusive bottom.
It's a little different.
You're a power bottom.
No. You know what? I think about like my thing with women, how I like, and I like being in control there because it's safer to me. It feels safer somehow. But that maybe it's hard to say because like a woman is obviously I'm more masculine than my wife. But then if somebody like you came around, I'd be like, I don't know, maybe, I don't know. It's interesting. It's hard to think about that because I think it's truly who's, I mean, generally it's who's more masculine, right? In terms of an energy. Like I would say,
it can be. Isn't there like a correlation between what people think, I guess, is the most obvious.
Isn't there a correlation though between if you see somebody who's like physically masculine, say like more body hair, more like physically strong versus like a twinkie, right?
Yeah.
You would expect the role to be clearly.
Yeah, but sometimes it's not. And that's always fun. Yeah.
That's always fun.
That's what my uncle is. He's about 400 pounds. Just a beast, hairy, obviously fat, and he is exclusively bottom. And was it a bear? Was it a bear?
Bottom bear.
Yeah, that would be a bear.
Bottom bear. Bottom bear. It's much like your other movie you were in called Bear City 3.
Oh my God. Speaking of bears,
is Bear City 3 also a gay movie?
Yeah.
Or is it like
and we filmed
actual
it
at brown bears?
No. Oh, I wish. Like that movie.
Like Cocaine Bear?
Cocaine Bear.
Yeah, I thought it was like a, like, you know, the shark movies where it's like Bear City 3. I thought it was a horror movie where bears are rogue and just attacking people. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Actually could be.
Yeah.
Bear City. That we filmed in Pennsylvania on
bear farm.
Nudist campground. The campground? I think so. I don't know. Maybe look it up. It's in Pennsylvania somewhere. Yeah. A nudist. It's like maybe one of the only ones. But my dad came to set and he was like, interesting.
Your dad is so involved. I love your dad. What a guy. What a guy.
That's hilarious.
So what was the movie? The movie was just like, was it also, was it like,
so
like
they,
sexual in a way? Or
so
just
I
nude?
Guess like, just like eating out, like
yeah,
the bears had their movie and it was Bear City. And
okay.
I played a DJ. I wasn't a bear, but I played a DJ in that movie that was like DJing at the nudist colony or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was a real nudist colony. There was real people staying there that were extras.
All nude extras?
Lots of naked bears. Yeah.
Lots of nude extras.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Do you know how much would a nude extra get paid asking for a friend?
I think they just got free drinks or something.
Really?
It was a low budget gay movie.
They do it for the love of the game. That's beautiful. Look at that. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Holy shit.
I love you guys. You guys are great.
Yeah, this is so fun. This is like
a nudist colony. I kind of want to try it out, but it's kind of intimidating. You know, just walking around if it's cold outside.
Because I was at Burning Man, and I'll tell you one thing. There's a camp. They're called the Shirt Cockers, which is like they were at Burning Man. You know Burning Man, right?
Yeah.
So like in the desert, and there's just like all these dudes wearing shirts and no bottoms ever. The whole Burning Man, basically.
Mm.
Bunch of people naked. And seeing these guys that are like hippies from San Francisco, and this guy's so weird, but like the sheer size of their wieners made me never want to join a nudist colony. You know what I mean?
Oh.
Also, one dude, it's like actually kind of traumatizing. And I hope the same thing has happened to me. His ball sack was hanging so low.
These are straight men?
I don't know. I think so. Possibly. Maybe some gay.
Mm.
But one ball sack was hanging so much lower than the other one. And I was like, he was riding a bicycle. And I just had this image in my head that it would the ball sack would get stuck in the bicycle.
Ouch. Yeah.
And I think those people who are nudist colonies usually are packing. Am I right?
Well, a lot of them were bears, and like I find it like so cute how it's like the belly and then it like kind of is like covering the
That's hilarious. Can we please shut the fuck up here? We can wrap up in a second. How long have we been rolling for, Bach? Okay. Sorry, back to the bears with the dicks.
Oh yeah.
This is gonna be a hit.
Okay, so you asked, you think people that are nudists are usually packing?
Yeah, because then I feel insecure sometimes when you're not a shower and you're walking around in a colony of showers.
you know what's so interesting? And I have something that might be able to help with that. And I can teach your girlfriend to do it on you. Okay. But I bought this machine. It's a shockwave therapy machine. And you have you heard of shockwave therapy used for ED, erectile dysfunction?
Jeff has, because he's Googling that every morning. But no.
No, I haven't heard of this actually.
So basically, I used to smoke those nicotine vapes.
Uh-huh.
And what happens is, like, I was smoking them for so long. It's like the nicotine shrinks your blood vessels. Mm-hmm. And the first place it usually does is in your balls.
Whoa, so that's an ad they should put on.
Or not your balls, but your...
To stop kids from vaping.
Yes. So the shockwave therapy, it uses sound. And you just use it on your limp dick. If, you know, you don't get hard. You don't have to be hard.
Well, and I didn't say that I... Chris, I didn't say that I have ED, okay? I'll tell you one thing right now, Chris.
No, I'm just saying for your followers, like, maybe they should, because people do it. You can go and get treatment for it in, like, in offices.
There's treatment options for you.
There's treatment out there for you.
Right now, this is an intervention.
But I did it on myself, and I've noticed that I've become more of a shower now and not a grower. Like, I feel like
everything hangs
lower.
I don't care about getting hard for my wife.
And the veins are huge.
What?
It grows the veins.
Where do you get this thing? On Amazon?
Yeah.
Amazon.
Yes.
What? You don't need it.
We're going to test it out. We're going to test it out. What the fuck?
I'll bring it over.
Are you serious right now?
Yes. What it does is it stimulates blood flow and it creates more blood.
Does it hurt?
Yeah.
It hurts?
Really?
Okay. Kind of feels a little good though. But I kind of like pain.
Yeah. So how often do you have to do that to get those veins you're talking about?
Like a couple times a week.
Okay.
You will notice a difference after the first try.
Really?
Yeah.
So what does it look like? Is it like some, is it like some,
it's like the, it
I'm
looks
just
like
picturing some like fucking device.
Yeah.
Like a movie,
it's like a big
like
little device and then it has like a gun
like coming out like,
and then a tube. And then you just like, it's like touch screen and you press it. Yeah. It's really evolved, but I got it for my neck.
I was about to say,
not
is it,
usually
is,
my okay, dick. Right.
Wait, you got it for your neck? Yeah. You just test it? Is it designed for your dick?
Yes, they have started using it for your dick. But I think primarily it was used for, you know, physical therapy.
Because I thought you just tried it. It's like me trying a hypervolt or something on my, you know, my dick all of a sudden.
What's a hypervolt?
Oh, it's like this, like the massage guy next to you. You know?
Oh,
like, okay,
yeah.
Which is actually very common. But like I'm saying, like you just, I thought you just used the device that's like for something else and then you just put
no it came with instructions for ED
good okay that's better because I just thought you because I was afraid I was gonna blow my dick off or something you know it sounded like some time travel like you know like lightning strikes coming out I was like no I'm not ready for that
I mean I don't even know if I'm even allowed to have this and use it I mean I definitely am not allowed to operate it on other people but I have.
What are you doing later?
This is perfect for us because I feel like you and me, we don't really care about being nude, but we hate the discomfort of always having to fluff because we're always aware.
Because that pulls the blood away because you have a little bit of anxiety, right?
Exactly.
So I think with this device, like it brings more blood into the area and it's always kind of there. So like I don't really have that problem where I like it just, it feels like it hangs lower. And
we gotta do something right now.
We gotta wrap it up.
Hey Siri, that's crazy. Are you serious?
Yeah.
So you're saying that what I'm taking away from this podcast, vaping makes your dick shrink.
Not only vaping, nicotine.
Nicotine.
Yeah.
Constricts the blood vessels.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bah.
Throw those cigs away.
Throw them away right now. Holy shit.
But I think vaping was even worse for me because I was doing it all day long inside. You know, you can't really do that with like it kind of forces you to not smoke as much.
Cigarettes are in some ways better in that sense. Because it's not as accessible.
So. Yeah, yeah.
This is not, you can get addicted for sure. And people, my parents smoke cigarettes, you know.
Yeah.
But it's still better than vaping where I was working with an editor on the music video. Uh-huh. And he just like, I remember this. I was like, holy shit. He was talking. He was nonstop for hours. And I was with him for like 3 hours editing, like together, vaping he took more vapes than breaths. You know what I mean? Like it was crazy. I mean,
I used to be like that.
But legit, yeah.
Just like,
yeah.
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 It's so addicting, man.
Yeah. God damn.
It's like that muscle memory. Even
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good. No more vaping. That's
Do you vape?
No. I've tried a vape whenever people have it at comedy clubs.
I know. I'll be like, oh, let me.
Yeah.
Do you smoke weed?
All day long.
Word. I think that relaxes the
blood. Yeah.
I think I start hanging fine. Lower.
Yeah.
So you're saying that weed makes your dick grow?
Yeah.
Cool.
So too.
Cool. Cool. All right, guys. All right. Quick disclaimer, guys. Don't take any of this as medical advice. Okay?
Yeah, I think you need to put a disclaimer on this for
no,
sure.
It's legit.
Oh my
God. For some reason, when I smoke weed, my testicles hang about 3 inches lower.
Really?
They are chilling, bro. They're relaxed.
Because you're relaxed. Yeah, that's what happens. Because when you work out or you're in a high stress scenario, your testicles like... That's the sound mine makes.
I like the sound of it.
You just go,
beep, 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 beep.
We all have different sounds.
Yeah, that really obnoxious one. That
yeah. Have you tried a penis pump?
Yeah.
Yeah? How was that for you?
I've tried the automatic one and I've tried the like one.
You're
that
an
you
expert.
Have
You're a penis-er.
I have a lot of toys, yeah. Wow. I think I have every toy, except for like what I really want to get is like a whole body toy.
A whole body?
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
With like an already hard dick. Just hop on it, ride it.
That's legit.
You know?
But but wait, why would you need that? I feel like if you're gay.
I don't know.
You
I think it would be
make
cool
a phone
to just
call right now. How realistic?
Yeah, but then you just don't have to deal with anything else.
Yeah. Yeah. But realistically, challenge right now. You know, if I right now gave you like $100,000 and or like for each, okay, I'm going to pay $100,000, but each minute that passes, you lose 10 grand until you have sex, can bang somebody. Like how long would it take you? This is a horrible way of explaining it, by the way.
No, I get.
What was the fastest? If you right now, if I told you, hey, you got to bang somebody ASAP. How would you do it and how fast could you get it done as a gay man?
Seconds?
Seconds?
Yeah. You just go on Grindr.
Yeah. What's your opening line on Grindr?
WYA. I don't think I have much in my bio, but there is some cuties near your grid. I think they live in your building. Look.
He's already checked. That's so funny. Can I see that actually?
This is your grid.
Just for, actually, I'm just looking. This is my grid.
Yeah, like this is like.
Yeah, I've seen this guy.
A lot of people live in your building.
Look at that guy. Summer 124. Okay, interesting. Yeah, probably seen some of these guys. Of course. Of course he is. Yeah, he goes to my gym. He's good. I just stand up shows with him. Yeah. Yeah. This is so funny. This is so funny. So wait, okay, hypothetically, right? This is, you can say hi to him. My buddy, he just had him. But yeah, he's
say
in my
hey,
gym.
Hey, this is Mario.
Hey, this is Mario. Oh my God, this is so funny. He's going to be so confused. I see him at the gym all the time and I chat with him. That's so funny.
He's like, what?
I literally texted him, hey, this is Mario. You got to send me later what happens with that. But yeah.
I will.
Yes. Guys, check out Chris Salvatore. Oh, show your book real quick.
Oh,
also,
yes.
Show your book. Sorry, I forgot about
these,
that. Yeah,
these books.
Whoa. Yes, look at that. The cabin
comes with
the
postcards.
Rugged. The cabin. Oh, so I saw a naked butt in the back. We have to blur that in here.
You have
That's
to blur
awesome.
It.
Yeah, yeah on YouTube, it's like they're not as into that, but you know, it's cool.
Let me just show you.
Oh my God, these are cards.
Yeah, these are postcards. They're like 10 by.
They're so high quality.
Or 8 by 10.
That.
Wow,
it's pretty high quality. It came out really well. And then this is the front of the book. It comes in this awesome. Slip cage. And then let me just show you like the first. I think the first page isn't. Oh, yeah. Well, that's kind of nude, but you can blur it. There you go.
Good job. I mean, obviously, I mean, the electroshock definitely worked, right?
I think, right?
I think it's safe to say that shit really
it did,
worked.
Right?
I mean, that's amazing. No, that's great. That's awesome. That's amazing. Good
nice
job. Dope dick, bro.
Thank you.
Awesome. Chris, thanks so much for coming on. You're so
thank
sweet.
Thank you guys for having me.
Chris Salvatore, everybody. Guys, stay uncensored. New episodes every single Wednesday. See me on stand-up tour. I'm coming all over the U.S. MarioAge.com for stand-up dates. I'm going to Seattle, Chicago, Detroit, all over the U.S. I love you, and I'll see you next time.